All right, never a bad day when this is the first song you hear when you wake up. At least not for me, anyway. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Tanner Saunders doing a magnificent job at Master Control, making the magic happen. And again, Tanner, when we did the show yesterday from the SPCA serving Erie County, I must applaud and commend you on a phenomenal job. That is not an easy show to do. Not for me, not for David, and not for you. But you pulled it off magnificently. Thank you for your dedication, your perfection, and your hard work. Really, you did a great job, bro.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I don't want to take all the credit because I think you guys got the harder job in the partnership. I just got to press a couple buttons every couple minutes, but I appreciate the kind remarks. That's a sweet thing to say.
Well, I'm not going to lie. It's draining. The Radiothon is definitely a draining program. You might not think it. I mean, it's not like I'm outside chopping down trees or something like that. It's not like a heavy lifting job, but mentally it is. Mentally it's draining, and it's also distracting because it's not every day you're doing a radio show and you see a miniature horse walking in front of you. It's like, wait a minute, am I hallucinating? Is this some kind of a horrible flashback because I listened to Black Sabbath backward once? I mean, is that what's going on here? But it was just the miniature horse that they have. Anyway, welcome to the show, Bowerly. And David Bellavia is going to be joining us in the 5 o'clock hour here on WBEN. So it'll be an hour's worth of Bowerly and Bellavia. And David and I, we have been so busy over the course of the past 24 hours, we haven't even had a chance to sit down and say, okay, let's map out the show. So anything is likely to happen in the 5 o'clock hour today on WBEN. So stay listening. Now, this whole show started out with beavers, and I know that David talked about the beaver issue in Orchard Park, and some beavers in Orchard Park end up dead. Others get a lesser sentence. I guess it depends on whether it's the Southern District of Manhattan or whatever. But no, they get a you cannot transport beaver. All right. It's not good for the beaver. It's too stressful for the beaver. And we're getting a lot of information about beavers. But what do you have in your neighborhood an infestation of anything? And it dawned on me when we're talking about beavers that we did shows about rat infestations. Remember the programs we did where Tonawanda and Amherst were being overrun by rats? And a big reason is people like your humble host who used to feed the birds in the backyard. And I was attracting rats. And once that was brought to my attention, I ceased feeding the birds. And my logic was, okay, if God put birds on this earth, God also put natural bird food on this earth. The birds don't need me. I do have a couple of bird houses in the backyard. I do have a bat house, but I've never seen a bat in it. It should probably come down. Do you have an infestation? Does anybody else have a snake infestation like the lady who called in the last hour? Can you imagine filling up a bath for yourself and a snake head poking up through the drain? You don't think she was pulling our leg, do you? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is Dick in Lockport. Dick, what's on your mind today? Beavers, snakes, what do you have for us?
I'll tell you, Tom. I'm very familiar with the snake house. First of all, I'm very protective of the snakes. We've moved from Whirly Drive in Williamsville to Lower Mount Road in Lockport. And I'm going to jump around a little bit with my snake story. The snake head came out of a shower drain. We're on the escarpment, mm-hmm. and it's a basement bathroom. So the snake came out of a shower drain. My mother took care of that. She spotted it. And also the snake came out of the laundry tub drain. So she's very conscious. She plugs those up. So those are two things. And again, I'm going to jump around. We found a snake on the top of the stove in the hallway, and it is a stone home from 1914, outstanding home on the escarpment.
Oh.
And look at These snakes have lived here for who knows how thousands and thousands of years. I'm very protective of them. They live here. We're the intruder. And also, too, in the stately front entrance, there's a 7-foot by 8-foot concrete pad, original from 1914, and there's a den under this concrete pad. There's cracks in the concrete, and you can see them at any time poke their heads out of these cracks, and they go in and out of these cracks alongside the front of the house, here, there, and everywhere. And there might be 5-6 snakes poking their heads out at any one time.
Kind of doing the prairie dog thing.
Yeah, you got it. And they're very tuned in. They know when you're walking around. They have their heads stuck out. And in a split second, they'll go back into the hole to protect themselves.
Now, Dick, I'm going to just gonna have a conversation with you here on WBEN. Okay. If you have, in Niagara County, one of those beautiful stone homes that your humble host happens to love, do you also have a problem with snakes? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Now, Dick, I'm going to surprise you, perhaps. I absolutely love snakes. I think snakes are so incredibly cool. And where I used to live, an apartment complex in Amherst, there were about maybe 6 to 12 of the biggest garter snakes you would ever see in your life. And I'm not exaggerating, and I actually took videos to prove it. They must have been a good 6 inches around. And that's pretty good girth, and probably 4 to 5, maybe even 6 feet long. I could not believe how huge these garter snakes were. I've never seen, I didn't think they got that big.
I've never seen the diameter of our snakes. They're just normal. Well, they must have had a good meal, Tom.
But they I mean, I'm relating to what you're saying, because these snakes, they lived in holes in the ground. Okay, all you could see was like a hole. And then periodically, every afternoon, the sun would be out and the snakes would emerge from their holes and they'd be sunning themselves on the grass as if they owned the place, which I guess they did in snake world, snake land.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you all, see, a lot of people get very, very terrified by snakes. Jim Stafford, American songwriter, wrote a song back in 73, 74. The refrain was, "I don't like spiders and snakes." Well, I like both spiders and snakes, but snakes to me are especially cool. And for the most part, the snakes around here are not lethal. There are obviously some exceptions. There are the occasional rattlers in parts of the area, like the Alabama swamps, I've heard, have rattlesnakes in them. But, you know, you said that you're very protective of them. Do you have any, have you ever called in an expert to explain the situation to you? Because I'd want to know how this whole thing started with the snakes.
Not at all. The idiot from Texas, Craig, my cousin, he was real cruel in telling my mother to put one substance or another. No. What I not 5 or 10 snakes in the tall garbage can, Tom. She had upwards of 20+ snakes.
Okay, and you need to hold on, Dick, because if you're talking snakes, okay, what is up with these stone houses and snakes? Is this common with stone houses? Because you guys don't know this, but when your humble host is driving through Niagara County, along the escarpment in particular, you come into this, like when you're going up to Wilson, was it Wilson Boathouse? Yeah, it's got to be Wilson. When you're driving up to Wilson Sunset Grill, when you're driving up there from where I live, you hit this area where there is this wide open expanse of beautiful Niagara County country, and it is absolutely a feast for the eyes, and those magnificent old stone houses. But I had no idea that for whatever reason, these stone houses, at least according to callers, seem to be havens for these colonies of snakes. Let's get back to Dick in Lockport, who also has one of those majestic, beautiful stone houses. But his does not go back to 1814 or 1820 or 1840. He just goes back to 1914, the year of the Great War, World War One, starting. So it's relatively new. At what point did you realize that you had a den of snakes, a pit of snakes, a bed of snakes, a nest of snakes? There are many plurals that you can apply to a whole bunch of snakes. Was it right after you moved in?
I'd say go back approximately 25 years. And when five snakes pop their heads out of the cracks at different areas, there's got to be a den. And they go in there, they come out, and it's unbelievable watching them. Now, I'd like to jump around a little bit, Tom. My mother, for a number of years, thought I was taking them maybe a mile or two away up near some desolate railroad tracks, which I did do. But then I said, hey, this is their home. So anyway, no kidding, 20 plus or minus snakes in a day's catch. So I would just bring them two doors away to a house that I have, and I just set them in my yard. So, yeah. So I just bring them over by me, unbeknownst to her. She was suspicious. She kept an evil eye out to see what I was doing with the garbage can of snakes. But also, too, getting back to the stone house, it's a field stone home, and these snakes can crawl, monkey their way through the stone, and they've had nests in her flower boxes, and a couple of snakes made their way all the way up to the second floor. Up through and into an office area. I saw a snake skin, maybe about 2.5 feet long, thicker. And so they're here. This is their home.
Well, I could use some boots, some new boots, I'm just saying. So the when before you bought your house, did you have a home inspector come in and take a look at the property and check out its mechanics and everything else?
No, that was August of 1970. We were pretty spry back then. We didn't give a hoot. But as the years passed, as a matter of fact, my mother had all the flowers, all the colors of the rainbow in her front garden area, along with ivy, and she was petrified of the snakes, and she pulled out all that ivy. Beautiful ivy, and thinking that that would curtail the snakes. No, they're still here. So
well, and by the way, you mentioned ivy, and for those of us who did not get very far with Cub Scouts or take part in Boy Scout or any scouting activities, there is poison ivy around here. I've been in backyards very close to my home where there is poison ivy, and thank goodness the homeowner said something to me because I was about to touch it. Yeah.
Get an app on your phone, Tom. Take a picture of the potential poison ivy, and it'll spell it out for you.
That's clearly I need an app to get through life these days. Thank you very much. Great call from Dick.
Tom, one other thing.
Well, hold on. I got to push you on hold if you got one other thing, because I got a break here for news on WBEN. This is absolutely fascinating. How many of you have problems with a lot of skunks in your yard? Not to be confused with politicians, although the resemblance is rather startling. Skunks, opossum, there are so many critters that we have. Now, this whole conversation started because of what's going on with Orchard Park and the beavers. But unless you live in Orchard Park and unless you live near water, anywhere in Western New York that attracts beavers, you know, they probably don't do it for you. Probably think, oh, look, a cute little beaver. Well, beavers might be cute, but they're also, I hate to say it, very, very destructive. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Reminds me of that meme that's on the internet of this house that is just completely engulfed in flames. And the meme says something along the lines of, look, I got the spider. Which I would not recommend. Coming up on 428, News Radio 930 WBEN, it is Bowerly. I didn't realize how many lovers of snakes we had in the audience, but you learn something new about you guys every day.
I don't like spiders and snakes, and that-
Jim Stafford.
Like I want to be loved by you.
I talked to Jim Stafford once, many, many years ago. No longer with us. Apparently, he was just awestruck by the conversation. 438 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Bowerly. And I tell you guys, absolutely amazed me, loves, because until today, I had no idea of the various kinds of infestations we have here in Western New York. The last thing, because we started talking about the beavers in Orchard Park, and then I expanded the topic, and things have been a little bit hairy, perhaps somewhat scaly, and reptilian, as the program has progressed, talking about what is your neighborhood infested with as far as wildlife. Now, it might be beaver. My neighborhood is, I think it's safe to say, infested with deer. And there was a deer last night on my street at the corner of one of the big streets that is the intersection. And I'm telling you, this thing was the size of a llama. I had to call somebody who's coming over and say, hey, I know you're a ways away, but just so you're aware, the deer are out in force tonight, and there is one the size of a llama. So just beware, they're out, and they're always out. But this one was huge, probably the biggest deer I've ever seen on the street. Must have been eating the other deer, for all I know. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So you start with beavers, and you start talking about snakes, and who knows what else is going to come down the pike. Dick in Lockport, who has a 1914 stone house on the escarpment. You must have done some research into this, Dick. Do we have any idea, is it the escarpment itself that is conducive to the colonization by snakes, or is it for some reason the stone houses which are conducive to a lot of snakes?
You got it, Tom. There's stone alongside the roadway, the bridges. They demoed, widened the road 93 west and east maybe 35 years ago, and dynamite, et cetera, et cetera. And there was, unfortunately, many, many snakes that got snuffed by the blasting. But, so I'd say it's the terrain, the stone foundation, the stone all the way around.
Oh, that is, I got to tell you, to me, that's absolutely fascinating. I did not know this. And have you talked to neighbors who don't have stone houses? They just maybe have a wood house, maybe a log cabin. Do they have similar issues with a proliferation of snakes?
Nothing that I've heard of. What I'd like to tell you is we have the garter snakes and the milk snakes. The milk snake is an aggressive snake, and they do not get along. My mother would put the milk snake in with the garter snakes, and I separated them as soon as I could. That was cruel and uncool.
And you know, you one thing you haven't mentioned, and people have sent pictures in over the years, the water snakes. Ellicott Creek apparently is teeming with water snakes.
I'm unfamiliar with the water snake.
Well, it's pretty amazing. But those milk snakes, they are very interestingly colored. They're red. They're like red, and they've got white and black bands around them. You know, they just look like a snake you wouldn't want to mess with too much.
I'd say there was a milk snake going along the west side of the stone home. I'd say easily 4 feet, pretty thick. And I tried to grab him, but he was too strong, and he got away. He headed north.
Dick, you were outfought by a snake. I'm just saying. That's
and also too, Tom. Absolutely, without question, there's a den under this this concrete pad slab. They come year after year after year. So,
but when you sell this house, you're going to have to disclose the presence of all those snakes.
You think?
Absolutely.
I don't know. Some people like you and I might like the snakes kicking around.
You know what? I got to tell you, as much as I like snakes, I would not want to live in your home because I believe in a house for humans and outside for wildlife. Thank you very much. And the last thing I would want is to be taking a shower and have a snake poking its head up through the drain. Much as I love them, no, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the call very much.
Okay, great, all right. Great show.
Yeah, this has been fascinating. It really has been. It's like, even if you like spiders, and I like spiders, if you've ever been sitting on the couch at night watching TV and suddenly between you and the TV, you see a giant spider on a web coming down from the ceiling. Oh, you might like spiders and think they're super cool, but the stealth they use, I'm just saying, they're the ultimate stealth personnel. They still can creep you out just a little bit. Let's go to Ken in East Aurora. Can't wait to find out. I thought for sure we'd have a lot more calls, and we haven't had any, about wild turkeys because, tell you something, they're big. You hit a wild turkey, and your windshield is not going to fare very well. Ken in East Aurora on WBEN, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Hey, I'm not a herpetologist, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn once. I think you probably remember that commercial, don't you?
Yeah, that's funny because I've stayed at a few Holiday Inns in my lifetime, sometimes just for an afternoon. Yeah, anyway, what's on your mind?
Well, a couple of things here, because like you said, I live in East Aurora and we have a plethora of all kinds of wildlife here, especially in my backyard. I have snakes, I have rabbits, I have fox, I have raccoons, I have deer. You name it, we have something up for everybody in my neighborhood. But what I have observed over the past number of years, that the snakes like rock formations either in the side of a creek or in a house, where they can get into, they feel safe, they can't be attacked, and also because of the fact that the rocks retain the heat, the snakes need to keep themselves alive because they are cold-blooded animals, so rocks are definitely a good place for them to hang out.
You might or might not know the answer to this question, but I never really gave this any thought, but what predators does a snake have?
Oh, fox. Four-legged critters, basically, will go after snakes, cats. My dog's actually gone after a few snakes around here. We don't have a lot, but I do have, my neighbor has a rock wall for their garden, and I've run into several of them there. I have a raised garden bed, and they like to hang out underneath the raised garden bed. So it's warm, and it's safe for them.
Owls, I'm just looking this up, owls, hawks, herons, rails, turkeys, crows, jays, robins, dogs, cats, mink, otters, skunks, raccoons, opossums, foxes, shrews, bullfrogs, and large predaceous fish. I love that word. Large predaceous fish. They are all the natural enemy of the snake.
Oh, yeah. If you ever get a chance in the springtime and come out this neck of the woods here by the American Legion Post, we have a creek that runs by there. And there's a rock facing. It's probably about a 20 or 30 foot drop. And when it's warm, you look down there and you'll see hundreds of freaking snakes near the creek is running right by there.
Well, I'll be darned. I do spend some time in Marilla, not too far from you guys, at a certain establishment in Marilla, Kodiak Jack's. I'm very, very fond of that. I'm sure you've eaten there once or twice, but
of course.
Well, but the village of East Aurora, the VFW post of which you speak, where would that be located?
It's right on center, going up the hill on the right hand side there. Let's see, before you hit the high school, definitely it's probably about a mile and a half from Main Street on Center Road.
Oh, okay, within sight of the big radio tower.
Yeah,
that's still standing up. And there was a doctor, we're not going to use his name, but there was a doctor who used to have a practice on right in that area on Center Road in East Aurora.
I'm not familiar with that.
There was. His last name started with the letter C. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call kindly from East Aurora. 803-0930. Orchard Park has an issue with beaver. what is the issue in your neighborhood? Mine, if I had to isolate it, would be deer. And every year, more and more and more deer. And yeah, you're not supposed to feed deer. It's not good for the deer. It might make you feel good to throw an apple to the deer, but you're not doing the deer any favors in the long run because you're attracting deer. They herd together and they spread disease one to the other. And it's hard to put a mask on a deer. Let's go to Scott in Buffalo on WBEN. Hello, Scott. What's on your mind, sir?
Tom, how are you? I'm in the...
I'm fascinated. The callers today have been fascinating.
Yeah, sure. So I'm in the North Park or Central Park area, North Buffalo. And when I'm outside at night having my cocktail, smoking a cigarette or whatever, I've been hearing coyotes. And I believe they're all in Shoshone Park.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When the first time you heard a coyote, what did you think you were hearing?
That's a really good question. I was in Ithaca, out in the country, and I heard about 45 or 50 of them. And I thought it was little kids screaming and crying.
Hmm.
And it was absolutely terrifying.
First time I heard one. I was living, oddly enough, in the same place that had the giant snakes in the summertime. I literally thought a woman was being attacked in the field by my apartment. I literally thought, my goodness, there's a human being in trouble. I need to go out and check what's going on. And then I realized, upon hearing it again once I was outside, that's not a human. That's a coyote.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Have you ever heard a deer scream?
No, I've heard rabbits or the eastern hare. I've heard those things scream, especially when they're being attacked by a predator. But I've never heard a deer scream.
Have your guy Google it. It is, and play it on the air for people. People will not believe what it sounds like when deer get scared. They let out this horrible scream, and it's like. I'm not going to try to emulate it, but it's crazy.
We'll have Tanner get right on that. Deer scream. Scott, hold on if you have something you'd like to add to that. But anyway, I mean, this is what it sounds like when doves cry. Wait, that's a different thing altogether. Sorry, that was a Prince song. All right. Have you found the sound of a deer screaming, Mr. Saunders?
Yes, I have. I found it in an amateur video, so I'll just let it rock here.
A deer screaming. Wow, I've never heard that.
It just sounded like a dog barking to me.
It almost sounded like, you ever hear squirrels chittering away at each other when they're playing? Yeah, it's like the strangest, if you can pull the sound of a squirrel, for those who don't know what a squirrel sounds like. Here's Scott. Can you find a snake screaming? How about the sound of a beaver? Can you find that? Here is Scott in Buffalo. You're on WBEN. Hello.
Hello. So, yeah, so the first time I heard a deer scream, I was in the north woods of the Adirondacks. I was in a tent, and I just built a platform on our property. And I built it kind of in the deer trail. So the deer were walking right up to the tent. So this deer walks up to the tent at like 4 in the morning, and I'm out cold. And it lets out that scream.
Oh.
I jumped out of that tent fast. I mean, it was like, holy cow, what is that, you know? Put a light on it, and there's a deer standing 6 feet away from the tent.
And what was he doing?
Just looking at me like, hey, what are you doing here?
Okay, but you know what's interesting is that he got within 6 feet of you in an area where he probably hadn't seen too many humans.
I'm guessing that that's probably true.
But see, in my neighborhood... we literally came home one night from a restaurant, and probably 6 or 7 feet away from us as we exited our vehicle, there was this giant deer, and it was so cute because he was peeking around the corner of the house at us as we entered the house. And the thing is about the deer in the suburbs like Amherst, Williamsville, they're so used to people now, they've become brazen. They'll come out in the middle of the day, and some of them will get to within 2 feet of you, and they're totally, it's almost like they've lost their fear of human beings.
That's absolutely true. So I grew up in Williamsville on Cadman Drive, and there's a woods behind my folks' place, okay? When I was a kid, I'd go out there with my pellet rifle or whatever and screw around. But the deer would walk right up to you. And the males would get very, they get very expressive, if you will. They'd pound their hooves and, you know, breathe heavy at you and make you a little nervous.
Have you ever seen an angry goose?
Yes, I have on the bike path. They've tried to attack me.
Okay, it might sound really stupid, but as mild-mannered as the Canada geese may seem, if you invade and encroach upon their territory, they will get super upset with you. And, Tanner, I know you're going to find the sound of an angry goose. An angry goose. Sounds like a vodka. No, that's Grey Goose. Scott, anything else from you, sir?
No, thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for the call. 803-0930. David Bellavia is going to be joining me in the 5 o'clock hour here at News Radio 930 WBEN. I was thinking about maybe talking about Christmas movies. We'll see what David wants to do. We'll work it out in the 5 o'clock hour. Both of us, we had a great deal of fun at the SPCA serving Erie County yesterday, but I will be the first to admit that that is, as fun as it is a draining experience. I can only imagine what it's like for the people at the SPCA, because they start their day very early at the SPCA. We only do 4 hours on the air, but let me tell you something, you know you've put in a hard day's work.